Nearly a dozen people who survived an Aeromexico jetliner crash last week are now suing the airline. Flight 2431 was leaving Durango, Mexico, and heading for Mexico City when it crashed in stormy weather shortly after takeoff with more than 100 people on board. The cause is still being investigated, but remarkably, everyone survived. Joining us now is one of the survivors, Ramin Parsa. He's a Christian pastor from Los Angeles and has since returned home. He's on Skype. Ramin, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And how are you holding up? Were you injured at all in this crash?
Not seriously, but it was more psychologically and more basically, it was a dramatic experience that we went through. But, you know, God is good. We're fine.
Well, you recorded a video of what happened on your cell phone, and I just want to warn people, this may be disturbing just to listen to, but you can hear people yelling, including children, a lot of commotion. Let's listen.
Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
It just sounds terrifying. Is that you saying in Jesus' name?
Yes. Yes, that's me. I'm praying and when the impact happened, I began to pray and I began to call on the name of Jesus because this name has helped me a lot in the past. So when this happened, I know who to call.
Hmm. What do you remember about what happened?
When we were boarding the airplane, everything was fine. The weather was perfect. And by the time everybody boarded the airplane, suddenly a dark cloud began to come. So it began to rain heavily and the wind was blowing very, very heavily. The trees are bending. That was how strong the wind was. And the airplane was shaking. So I thought, well, we're going to have probably an hour to 30 minutes delay. We're going to wait here until this clears up so we can take off. And so I wouldn't believe that the pilot will take off. And so I began to film the outside. I was filming the rain. And suddenly the airplane began to move. And he began to speed up to take off. And I said, well, maybe he knows what he's doing. That's his job. So the airplane began to take off. And as he did, in the airplane, you have to probably reach 200 miles an hour to be able to take off.
Right.
So it took off. And after like 35 seconds in the air, like going up and down. And then after struggling to go up and down, it was like a struggle, like turbulence almost. And then boom, he hit back and it crashed on the ground. And so the moment it crashed on the ground, the engines got on fire. And just like a ball, you know, the airplane was bouncing up and down and moving, I think, 450 yards, slid on the ground and went off the runway, went among the trees and among the bushes. And that's when it called on the name of Jesus. And I believe it was a miracle that we are alive because imagine that airplane filled with fuel. Sliding on the ground for 400 or 500 yards, and then it fell into a ditch when I prayed. So it stopped, and the moment the airplane stopped, people were screaming and panicking and trying to get out. All the lights of the airplane went off. It was pitch dark, and smoke started coming in. That was, in my opinion, the worst part because the smoke was terrifying. You didn't have time to think, to breathe, and everybody's trying to open the door. Imagine you put 100 people in there.
Right, everybody wants to get out of the same exits. I mean, how did everybody get out so quickly? Because more than 100 people were on board and they all survived.
Yes. So the only way I can describe it is a miracle. It's a miracle of Jesus Christ. What happened was when the smoke started coming in, we didn't have time to think or to figure something out and how to get out.
Did people use all of the exits or was everybody going out the same one?
I don't know. I don't think it was all of them because it happened so quick that it was just a total miracle. My window was orange because of fire. I mean, all the windows were like almost orange. Huh. We could not even breathe. Like I was like, and when I prayed the second time, I say in the name of Jesus, my Lord Jesus. When I say that, I felt a fresh breeze came and hit my face. And suddenly I found myself in front of the exit door. I don't know how I got there. And then I saw this lady dragging, because it was a smoke, so nobody could see each other. And I saw this lady dragging her father. Later on, she texted me and thanked Jesus and thanked me for helping her dad get out. So I pushed her dad out of the airplane, and we jumped on the wing of the airplane, the right wing of the airplane, and we ran toward the tail of the airplane, and we moved away because the airplane could explode any time. So
What have you heard from the airline about this? They've said that they deeply regret the accident.
They really haven't been professional. It's sad. They haven't even reached out to us ever since. They haven't, even for coming back, we had to call them multiple times and be on the line for 20 minutes, 30 minutes to figure something out. And they really haven't even reached out to us. So we were expecting them to be, you know, and it was because it was a miracle. It could be a disaster for them and for people.
But you think it was the pilot's fault, the fact that the plane took off in that kind of weather?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't even drive in that weather. When I was sitting there, I knew we were going to have a delay. So we said, you know, we're going to have an hour, probably 30 minutes delay. So I was expecting that. And suddenly, for some reason, the pilot decided to take off. So I thought, well, I'm not a pilot. Maybe he knows what he's doing. But in that weather, I mean, if you look at the video, you can hear the wind and mm-hmm. You can see the thickness of the air and you can see the storm. And the heavy rain, and I wouldn't even imagine that his pilot would take off in that weather. So it was his fault, absolutely.
I imagine that if people were put in the position that you and the other passengers were, and you managed to make it through and survive something like this, you sort of reassess your whole life. I mean, have you made any changes as a result of the fact that you survived this?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like, you know, you are born again. You're born, it's like you died and you came back to life again, and sometimes we take life for granted. We just complain and we're sad because of the things of this world, because of material things, and we just become so complacent. But what this experience taught me was to be thankful for every second, for every day, for every minute that I got. To love one another, because love is the key, to love people, to love one another, because you don't know the time and the hour. And the thing is that it taught me to be more thankful and to be grateful and to use my time for something very important, to something more important, and not to waste time, but to take life and appreciate it because it's a gift. It's truly a gift. And in that situation, it was a glimpse of hell, the way I can describe it. It was so terrifying, but God was with us, and I believe. In fact, I went to Durango, Mexico. My purpose to go there was a mission trip. So
right.
I went to a Bible school, and I've been going around teaching the Bible, telling people my story and the story of hope, and that there's hope in Jesus, that there's a God, there's a supernatural help. That Jesus is real. He's alive. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And so I was there to give the message of hope. And in fact, it was received well. I spoke at a university, at two churches, at two youth camps. And I spoke to young people who were struggling. You know, it was the beginning of their lives, and basically they're trying to figure out, well, what is the purpose of their life, what they're going to do with their lives. And I gave them the message of hope, and to the best of my ability, I told them that God is real, He has a plan for them. And so upon my return, this happened, which I believe it reiterated the message that I was telling them, that, hey, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of problems and testing, you can still believe for a miracle, and God can come to your rescue.
It must have been tough to get back on a plane again to go back to LA after this happened.
It was. It was really tough. Yeah, I didn't want to even fly back, but, you know, we had to come back, and so we had no choice. But yeah, these pilots in Aeromexico, they just jerked the airplane around, and so every time, you know, I was tired and tried to sleep. And every time the airplane moved a little bit, I would just, you know, wake up very fast and jerk out of sleep. So it was terrifying. I prayed the whole time through.
But you made it back safely.
Yes, thankfully. Yeah, thank to God.
That's Ramin Parsa, who is one of the survivors from the Aeromexico plane that crashed last week in Durango, Mexico. All of the people on board survived. Ramin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And some investigators in this line of work acknowledge that while people might see this as a miracle, there's a reason why everyone was able to survive the crash. The industry has worked for years to design safer planes, adding seats, for instance, that don't slide forward on impact.